As you know, we are working on a series called The Unknown, and it is about how faith, hope, and love help us to trust God in times of uncertainty. Last week, Pete preached about hope, and he talked, he brought up a whole bunch of students, and I have to tell you, if you missed last week, I'm sorry, because it was awesome. And I see some of you nodding out there that it was great. However, I really hope you didn't miss the message about hope. Sorry, it's a really awful pun. I'm sorry. But if you did, there is an MP3 link on our website. And I would highly recommend that you go and listen to this message. Okay? It has, the CD did not have all of the interviews on it. The MP3 does. So go to aplacetoconnect.com, and on the left side you'll see a link that says Sermon MP3s. Click that, click on Pete's message about hope rising, and you'll be good to go. Although I can't vouch for your computer. I don't know. If you have trouble, call us. I might regret saying that. I heard so many people who were just encouraged, filled with hope by last Sunday. And so many people said that they just walked away just full of God's hope. And especially about what God is doing in people's lives here. Did you know all of the ways that God was working in these people's lives? With people coming to know Jesus and people making decisions to follow God and obey God in ways they never had before? So I want to pick right up off of what happened last week, okay? We talked about hope. And maybe as you heard some of those stories, maybe you were just encouraged to step out and just move forward and just trust God in a way that you had not before. But maybe some of you were sitting there and saying, I don't have that. I don't know God that way. I have never experienced him in that way. I don't know how to follow him like that. He's never told me to obey him in the way that some of these students have heard from God. And if that's the case, if God sparked something in you last week, whether it is something where you are already a believer and you're following Jesus and you're like, man, God just sparked in me this hope and this excitement, or whether you are not following Jesus yet and you're just like, God sparked in me this desire to have that kind of relationship with him. Whatever God sparked in you, I want to promise you something. I promise you that what God starts, he finishes. And there's this awesome passage in Philippians 1:6. It says this. This is Paul talking here, and he says this. There has never been the slightest doubt in my mind that the God who started this great work in you would keep at it and bring it to a flourishing finish on the very day Christ Jesus appears. What God started, he's going to complete. I promise you. So God has given so many of us hope, but here's my question, and this is what I want to talk about today. How do we get from hope to fulfillment? How do we get from excitement about what's going on to action? How do we connect hope with faith and faith with action and obedience? And there is this awesome passage called Hebrews 11, and it's nobody knows who wrote the book of Hebrews, because the author isn't stated, but this person obviously had a pretty amazing relationship with God, and they were very experienced in their relationship with God, because as you hear this chapter, you're just going to be blown away by this. But first, grab your Bible. If you brought your Bible, that's awesome. If you didn't, grab a Bible under the chair in front of you, or underneath you, or however you choose to obtain a Bible. And turn to Hebrews. Now, I'm not going to give you the page number, but because I have this blank because I forgot to look it up, okay? However, if you don't know where Hebrews is, open the Bible, the first couple pages, and there's a table of contents. And down near the end of that table of contents, you will see the book of Hebrews, and that will give you a page number. 1191. 1191, thank you so much. Page 1191. Okay, so let's read Hebrews 11 together here. I'm going to stop sometimes and like interrupt myself and talk about things, so hope that's okay. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And another way to translate that verse is, faith is the evidence or the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things we don't see. Okay? Now, the word substance can also be the word guarantee. And I'm not talking about with the E-E on the end. I'm talking about with the A-Y or whatever it is, T-Y, okay, the old guarantee. It's like an engagement ring or a down payment. Okay? So faith is the engagement ring on our hope, what we're hoping for. It's the down payment. It's God blessing us with that faith and saying, I am going to do this thing, okay? And just like a woman gets an engagement ring, and that's the man's promise that he's going to marry her and follow through, okay? This is God's engagement ring to us, this faith, okay, that he promises he's going to do what he's made us excited about and hoping for, okay? And then it says this, it is the evidence of things that are unseen or certain of what we don't see. And some people talk about blind faith. I'm sure you've heard this before. But blind faith is an oxymoron. There is no such thing as blind faith. If it's blind, it's not faith. Okay? If it's faith, it's not blind. Faith might not be based on physical evidence in the same way that you see it. There it is. You don't have faith. I don't have faith to know that chair is there. Okay? Because I can see it right there. But faith is based on evidence. It's just based on relational and experiential evidence. Okay? That's a little deep. I'll get back to that later. I'm going to keep going. Okay, so this is what the ancients were commended for. The ancients are just the people in the Bible that are listed in the rest of the chapter. Okay? By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. And all he's saying is, there was a point where there was nothing, and then there was a point where there was something, and he's saying what caused that is God's command, his powerful word. Okay? And then I'm going to kind of skip around here a little bit. Let's keep going. He talks about by faith Abel offered God a better sacrifice, and by faith he was commended as a righteous man. Then verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. Verse 6, okay, and oh, this is really cool in the rest of verse 5. Sorry, I know you just flip pages. This is verse 5 again. Because God had taken him away, okay, he did not experience death. And then it says, for before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Now, how cool would that be for you to have your name in the Bible, and it says your name pleased God? That is like the coolest thing I can think of, right? So, Enoch, there's not a whole lot in the Bible about Enoch. But if you go back and you look at what happened with Enoch, Enoch walked with God. He had these crazy experiences where he would walk with God. And there was a point where God just said, I think I like you too much to let you stay here. So he just took him away. Enoch never died. He just kind of like disappeared off of the face of the earth because God wanted him, okay, up in heaven. So Enoch pleased God. And then it goes on in verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe, one, that he exists, and two, that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Okay? Now, all this is talking about is, like any relationship, whether it's human relationships or your relationship with God, if you don't believe that the person exists, you can't have a relationship with them. If I go, I want to have a relationship with thus and such person, and I don't actually believe they exist, then obviously I'm not going to believe I can have a relationship with them. And you also, just like in any relationship, have to believe that God also wants to have a relationship with you. Okay? The other person. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to have a relationship with that person. How can you be friends with someone who doesn't want to be friends with you? Okay? This is the same sort of thing, although a lot deeper. And that is, you must believe that God exists, right? And then you must believe that God will reward you with relationship with you if you seek him earnestly. That's the reward. We get to know God if we seek him earnestly, okay? And he's provided a way through Jesus for us to seek him. And then it says, there's a bunch of other names here. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not seen, in holy fear built an ark. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. And we'll talk about that later, too. And it goes on, by faith, Isaac and Jacob, by faith, Abraham again. Okay, and then down to verse 12. And so from this one man, that's Abraham, okay, because God blessed Abraham and Sarah with a child when they were like 100 years old, which is completely miraculous, in case you didn't know that. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, what a great line, right, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and countless as the sand on the seashore. And this is the key verse here. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. This is hope. This is the essence of what hope is we see what God's doing way down there, and we welcome that. We anticipate it from a distance. Faith, then, is believing God, taking God at his word, that when he says he's going to do something, we believe he's going to do it. So there's the difference between faith and hope. Okay, hope looking at that thing over there and saying, wow, look at what God can do. Faith believing he's actually going to do it. And not only believing that, but saying, right now, I'm going to put one foot in front of the other foot, and I'm going to start that journey. Because when God says something, he's going to carry through with it. He's going to do it. So one of the best examples of this in the Bible is Abraham. And there is this passage, Genesis 12, where we get a little of a backstory of the story of Abraham that's told in Hebrews there, okay? The Lord had said to Abram, that's Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. Now, notice one very important thing. He doesn't say, go to the land of, and then give him the name. He just says, go to the land I will show you. When Abraham left, he had no idea where God was going to take him. It would be like God saying to you, oh, well, why don't you move? And you're like, okay, God, I believe. You want me to move? I'm going to move. And then you're like, where should I go? And he's like, I'll show you. Just sell everything. I'll tell you later. How about that, right? Okay, this is what happened with Abraham. And then it says, I will make you into a great nation. This is God promising these things to Abraham. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Now remember, Abraham is 75 years old when God is promising this and asking him to leave. And God's saying, I'm going to make you into a great nation. Well, God, that would require me having children, and I'm 75, right? And listen to what he's promising here. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. If somebody has it out for you, I'm going to curse them. If somebody blesses you and does good to you, I'm going to bless them too. Talk about power, right? Talk about a promise. And then look what happens. Hope is starting to rise in Abraham as he hears this. But hope is not enough, because it says, so Abram left as the Lord told him. See, the hope was great. God, look at what God's going to do, right? And the faith was Abraham believed God. Now, we read about this in Galatians. And this is Paul talking again. He says this, consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Or another way to say it would be, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. So you want to know what faith is? It's right there. Faith is believing God when he says something. Sometimes we get really, really wrapped up in the idea that faith is like believing in this, in concepts or something. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that later. But just for now, think about this. Real faith is reliance, trust, and confidence. Real faith is reliance, trust, and confidence. How do we know that Abraham believed? He left. That's how we know. He obeyed God. He did what God wanted him to do. He took God at his word. Real faith is reliance, trust, and confidence. Now look, it's not placing my trust in an idea or a belief or a concept or a tradition. It's placing trust in a person, God. Abraham believed God. See, faith is taking God at his word. It's trusting him enough to act on what he says, knowing that he's going to come through. Because he will, he can, and he will. Second, faith rests on relationship. Real faith is reliance, trust, and confidence, and real faith rests on relationship. See, God revealed himself to Abraham. If you look at what happens in this story, God talks to him, right? God reveals himself to him. They communicate. If you look at all the people in Hebrews 11, it's the same. If you go down through those people, God talked with Abel. God walked with Enoch, warned Noah, blessed Isaac, wrestled with Jacob, interpreted dreams for Joseph, burned a bush for Moses, and argued with him over it. In all of these cases, God is interacting with these people. The Bible is the record of God's interaction with us and people like us. See, human relationships are based on God's relationships. Now, I know that they're really different, obviously, but there are a lot of things that are similar. You don't go into a human relationship, like, let's say, a husband-wife relationship, and expect, for instance, like you walk up to a guy and he's like, "My wife is really great. I love my wife." And you're like, strange way to start a conversation, but that's awesome. That's great. And so I would love to meet her. Like, what makes her so great? And he's like, "Well, I don't really know. I just know I love her." And you're like, "Okay, so what's her name?" "Well, see, here's the thing. I've never met her." "Okay, but she's really great. So can I meet her sometime?" "Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know when I'm going to meet her." "Okay." Now, you would think this person was like one taco short of a fiesta platter, right? I mean, they're just, this is not normal, okay? And the fact is that why would we think that our relationship with God would be any different in that way than our relationship with humans? And that is that we have to know a person to really love and trust them. We need time, we need knowledge, friendship, communication, sacrifice, love. I mean, why do we think that would be different with God? We're still human, even though he's God, and we require those things to be in a relationship. Real faith rests on relationship. Real faith results in obedience. So real faith is reliance, trust, and confidence. Real faith rests on relationship. Real faith results in obedience. We look down through these Hebrews 11 people. I mean, every single one of them, it's by faith, and then the name of the person, and then did something. It's action and action and action. By faith, Abraham did this. By faith, Enoch did this. By faith, Abel did this, right? Abraham obeyed God and left his home, even though he didn't know where he was going. There's this great passage in the book of James, and maybe you know the book of James because there is this part where it says, "Faith without works is dead." Maybe you've heard that before. Another way to say that is, faith without deeds is useless. Faith without actions is useless. Well, that same passage talks about Abraham, so you know, look at this here. You see that Abraham's faith and his actions were working together. And his faith was made complete by what he did. If Abraham hadn't left, taken God at his word, and believed him, then his faith wouldn't have been real. Because it proved that he believed God by his action. His faith was made complete by what he did. It's incomplete faith, which is not really faith if we're not willing to let it move out into obedience. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, it's back to relationship again, right? It's back to relationship. He was called God's friend because his hope led to faith. His faith led to obedience and relationship with God. And now he's called God's friend. Real faith results in obedience. Well, maybe you've heard this word faux. It is not F-O-E, but F-A-U-X. Faux means fake. So maybe you've heard of faux leather, like this. And faux leather means that there were no giraffes that were harmed in the production of this purse. Okay, or maybe you've heard of faux hawks. So a faux hawk is like a mohawk that's not really a mohawk. It's like a fake mohawk, okay? And so I want to give you a new word, all right? Are you ready for this? Because this is exciting. This is going to be cool. All right, ready? Phobedience. All right. Phobedience is fake obedience. And I want to show you a video that demonstrates phobedience.
So excited today. It's like I woke up and thought, today is the day to get working for Jesus.
Kat, I'm so excited to find someone who's ready to take action and get things done.
Oh, man, I am that girl.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I've got something perfect for you. So let's get started.
Okay.
What are you doing? Stand up. Remember, we were going to take action.
Yeah, but this is where I always sit.
Right, but I need more than this.
Oh, I know what you're getting at. Okay, Jesus, how much do you want?
What?
$50? Is that enough?
Oh, that's not what I meant.
Oh, all right. Well, 100 then, you know. You drive a hard bargain. Okay, but you might not want to cash this till next Friday. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
There you go.
Okay, Kat, really, I do think it's great that you want to give, but I want you to mentor a younger woman.
Ooh, yeah, right. Well, Jesus, you know, I'm not really into, like, teaching people and stuff. I mean, I don't really get into that.
Okay. Okay. You know that woman at the office, Amy?
Yeah.
I want you to take her out to lunch. Tell her about me.
Well, Amy is different. I mean, like, really different, you know?
I know, but she needs to know about me.
And I can tell the people at the church to call her. I mean, they get paid to do things like that.
I want you to do that.
Jesus, I just don't feel comfortable doing that.
No, Kat, the problem is you're too comfortable.
Phobedience. See, we're really, really good at doing things that make us feel like we're doing what God wants. Or doing things for God, in God's name, but not really doing what He wants us to do. So it's like Jesus is saying to you, I finally want you to deal with that sin of anger or lust or worry that just runs your life. And you're like, oh, right. How about I teach a Sunday school class? I mean, that's a pretty big deal, Jesus, you know. Or maybe he's saying, I want you to give up an entire week of vacation at your job to go on that mission trip. And you're like, oh, no, don't mess with my vacation. I mean, Jesus, I will give you this thing over here, but just, you know, I'm not comfortable with that. I'm not ready for that yet. Well, here's the thing about obedience. It happens a step at a time. God is going to show you one thing most of the time. And he's going to say, do this thing. And until you do that thing, you're not going to know what the next thing is. I was thinking about Abraham again. He didn't even know where he was supposed to go. All he knew was, I'm supposed to leave. When he left, then God told him where he was going to go. And throughout Abraham's life, if you look, there are moments when he obeys and God gives him a bigger piece of the plan. And he obeys that and he gives him a bigger piece of the plan. And he obeys that, or sometimes he disobeys it and just sits there wallowing in self-pity for a while. And God won't show him the next thing until he's done what he's asked. If you were here last week, you heard Mark and Sarah sitting right over here and talking about their experiences. And I want to come back to that. I had a great conversation with both of them this week because I thought we kind of talked a lot about steps 5 through 8 of their how they got to where they are. And we didn't talk much about steps 1 to 4. And maybe some of you are sitting there just saying, that's awesome, but how did they get there? Right? It just sounds like they believed the whole way and everything was cool. Well, I was talking with Mark and he said that the reason why he started praying for his friends that were atheists was because he had sat in a senior breakfast with Pete. And Pete had talked about how our life should be about worshiping God. And one of our responsibilities in worshiping God is to tell other people about him. And God sparked something in Mark's heart and said, you are supposed to do that, and you haven't been. Now, Mark had a decision to make at that point. He could have said, whoa, God, not really comfortable with that. And he would have lost that blessing and that opportunity and that growth. But instead, he said, okay, God, I'm going to start praying. And he prayed and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed for these friends. And after he prayed, there was a point where one of his friends called him because he had been open about his faith with them. And one of his friends called him and said, hey, yeah, I think I would actually like to come to church with you. And if you were here last week, that's when Mark said, whoa, okay, well, I don't know if they're going to behave when they come here. So I'm kind of not sure if this is really what I want to do. And again, God nudged him and was like, no, this is the answer to your prayer. Take this opportunity. And again, Mark had a decision to make. He made the decision to have his friends come to church with him. And then afterward, one of his friends was like, you know, it wasn't so bad. I think I could come back. Now, steps of obedience along the way. One step led to another opportunity, which was another choice. Sarah and I had a great conversation. And Sarah, she had to make the step of obedience, even after she had been attending church here for a while. She had to make the step of obedience to trust Jesus, right, and to choose to follow him and accept him as her Savior and the Lord of her life. And she had not done that. And so when God prompted her and she realized that, she obeyed him and she accepted Christ and she gave him her life and trusted in him. And after that happened, she started feeling this like really nagging thing going on where it's just like, What I'm doing right now is not what I'm supposed to be doing. And you're like, well, look, isn't everything supposed to be okay when you trust Jesus? Like, everything's supposed to be cool, right? But it wasn't for her because she started feeling this burning desire. Like, why am I not satisfied with what I'm doing in my life? And so she started praying. That's another step of obedience because she could have just gotten mad. Like, God, why aren't you rewarding me for becoming your child, right? But instead, she starts praying. And she told me that she was on her knees praying almost every day for like 4 months straight about this. 4 months, right? She pushed through that. And at the end of that time, God just dropped in her lap that he wanted her to look into pursuing youth ministry. And she's like, finally, that's the end of that just burning thing that was sitting weighing on my heart, right? But until she had taken those steps of obedience, she would never have found out about that and been persistent about it. So faith, real faith, requires obedience. So maybe you don't know what your next step is. Maybe you're sitting here saying, well, that's great if you know what your next step is, Well, let me tell you that just like Mark talked about and just like Sarah talked about, the first thing that you need to do is pray. And I just want to bring us back to this E3 thing right now, because this is express our prayers to God, extend our hands to others, and expect that God will act. Well, you might not know what God wants you to do, but I can guarantee you that for every single one of us in this room, there is one thing that he wants for us, and that we know we can take a step of obedience on right now, this very moment, and that is prayer. Because God says you should pray continuously. He says pray endlessly, right? And so, if you don't know what the next step of obedience is for you, and you're not clear on that right now, just pray. Express your prayers to God. And maybe it will take 4 months, okay? Maybe it will take longer than that. Maybe it will come tomorrow. But the point is that as you obey him in that way, that he will reveal the next step of obedience that you need to take. And maybe that's extending your hands to people around you. Maybe God says to you, and this happens a lot, so be surprised, okay? This is going to happen. When you start praying for something, I'm going to tell you that God will probably say that you are supposed to be the answer to your own prayer. So you're going to be like, God, I just really pray for thus and such, for my friend so-and-so, you know, and that you would comfort them. And all of a sudden God says to you, you're supposed to go comfort them. And then you have another step of obedience to make, okay? And this is how he works so often. So, and then expect God to act. Whether it's extending your hands to people in this church in love, people outside this church in love, in extending your hand to them and telling them about Christ, whatever it is, that's another step of obedience. And God's going to reveal to you what that step of obedience is. So, this is the final one. Real faith is reliance. Real faith rests on relationship. Real faith results in obedience. Finally, real faith requires risk-taking. Now, I'm telling you that this is true of absolutely any relationship that you're in. If you are a human being and you are in a relationship, I can promise you that unless you take risks, that relationship is going nowhere. Not going anywhere. Not going to happen. And the reason is because you have to give up something in order to open yourself up, okay? It might be giving up a measure of control, because any time you let somebody into your world, you're giving them a certain amount of control over you. And the deeper that relationship goes, the more control it is. Maybe you have to take the risk of allowing someone to into your inner space, right, of your heart, in a way of love that you have never loved before. And that risk means they could hurt you. That risk means that they could abandon you, right? Whatever relationship it is, there is a risk. And as in human relationships, if you do not take risks in your relationship with God, your relationship with him will go nowhere, just as a human relationship would not. See, faith is by nature a series of risks that we take in believing in God. And there are usually risks of submitting ourselves to God, of giving up pieces of ourselves to him a little bit at a time until it's all there. What kind of relationship of marriage or a friendship would it be if you never took a risk? And I'll tell you that there is always a cost, always a risk for going all in. And the deeper a relationship is, the more risk there is. And a relationship with God is about as deep as it gets. It costs. It's risky. But just because the risks are big, the rewards are also big. It's better than you can imagine, but you're going to have to give stuff up for it. Listen to some of these verses. Just close your eyes for a moment and listen to these. Jeremiah 29:11-13. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me. You will. This is a promise. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. There's the cost. 2 Chronicles 16:9. The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. fully committed to Him. Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said to His disciples, "If anyone would come after Me and follow Me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow Me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for Me will find it." There are so many promises of reward and relationship in Scripture, but every single one of them comes with a cost. Why? It's not because God arbitrarily says, "Well, you must fulfill the following three requirements in order to be in relationship with Me." No, it is because this is what relationships are. In any relationship, this is what relationships are. And the deeper the relationship, the deeper the cost. You want to get everything, you have to give everything. And maybe you say, "Well, that's not fair. Why should I have to give up everything? I mean, after all, what did God ever have to give up?" He only asks of us what He has already done. What He's already done. And we only love Him because He loved us first. The last thing is this. Whenever God calls us to do something, He's gonna enable us to do it. His word is powerful. What God says is as good as done. What God starts, He finishes. What God wants, He gets. The question is, will you put your faith into action and be a part of what God is doing? Will you take the risk? Will you obey? Will you receive the reward? And by the way, if you ask Him, prepare to be surprised at what He asks you to do. You might not know or expect what it is, but also prepare to be amazed at what God is going to do through you. Would you just close your eyes and listen to this song.
The battle line is drawn, it's all in black and white. Hope is pulling forward, can feel it from behind. It's time. It's time to make a move. So what will you decide? The clock is ticking on. Don't let it pass you by. It's time. It's time. The time is now for lifting souls. The time is now for letting go. From your skin to your core. Let light and love come rushing through the door. Oh, come rushing through the door. You've learned every song, memorized the verse, took the bread and wine, and even bought the shirt. It's time. It's time to hold your shield, it's time to draw your sword, to lead the resistance, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord. It's time, yeah, it's time. The time is now for lifting souls, the time is now for letting go, from your skin to your core. Let light and love come rushing through the door. It's time to make a stand, to put your heart in greater hands. From your skin to your core. Let light and love come rushing through the door. Eternity. Turn your faces from finite places. Heaven's grace will set you free. Yeah. The time is now for lifting souls. The time is now for letting go from your skin to your core. Let love come rushing through the door. It's time to make a stand. Put your heart in greater hands. From your skin to your core. Let love come rushing through the door. Come rushing through the door. Jesus, would you help us? Would you show us what you desire from us? God, would you give us hope of what you want to do and what is to come? Would you give us faith to believe what you say and to obey you? Before you go, just keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Would you just take 2 minutes right now before you leave to ask God what your next step is?